Verse 3, the Apostle Paul, writing to the Corinthian church, made this very powerful statement about us, about our life, and about the world we live in. He said, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." Now, last week we started what's at least a two-part series, what we just call thoughts, two-part series on thoughts. And last week we looked at something called, simply in regards to thoughts, the origin of thoughts. We began to look at the fact that the thoughts in our head come from various sources. Kind of like a computer has various inputs. You can input into that computer through a mouse, through a keyboard, through a joystick, through a touch screen. There's different ways to talk to that computer, to bring suggestions into that computer. And we said the same is true with our thoughts. You know what I mean? We have a mind, a thought. We have a mind to think with, and we have thoughts in our head. But the thing that we had to realize is there are various origins of those thoughts. And so, in connection with the scripture, we were looking at that bottom, that last verse. It says, "Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." Seems like a tall order, but the Bible tells us to do it, so we can do it. There's a way to do it. In fact, we've got weapons specifically designed for that function, to be able to do it, to take our thoughts captive and bring them into the obedience of Christ. And so really, kind of what this two-part series is going to do is it's really focusing on that aspect of thoughts, taking thoughts into captivity to the obedience of Christ. What does that mean in real life? And again, last week we started out by determining what are the various different origins for thoughts. And we made a few statements. You know, first of all, the fact that, you know, the thoughts that you have in your head are not there because you just thought them up, okay? They have been coming at you from various avenues. And we kind of looked at three main areas as far as on the negative side where thoughts come from. We looked at Romans chapter 7. We saw that there's a law of sin and death that's in our members, our body, that wars against the law of our mind. All right? In other words, something's coming against our mind. The Apostle Paul said, "I want to do the right thing, but when I want to do the right thing, I find there's a principle here. Evil is here. Something's warring against the law of my mind." In other words, it's not coming from within my spirit, within my new creation, my new heart. It's coming at me from the outside. It's the law of sin and death trying to get entrance through the appetites of your body. You know, that's one of those external inputs that's trying to come at you. Also, we said the world, okay? The world is another form of external input. There are all kinds of media and influences and things like that that is basically trying to get access to you. And we said, remember we said how the world is almost kind of like the amen corner for your flesh. The world will tell you that your flesh is right. Do it! Okay, so you've got that to deal with. And then, if that weren't enough, you've also got the devil himself. The Bible says powers, principalities, goes about as a roaring lion, roaring. Okay, obviously not a real lion, but the roars are real. And that they're not roars you hear with your natural ears, but they are roars that you hear in your mind. These spiritual forces, whether it's the law of sin and death warring against your mind, whether it's the spirit of the world, or whether it's powers and principality, they are spiritual forces that war against your mind that register as thoughts in your head. And at this point, you got to realize, and this is unfortunately where we get defeated, oh my goodness, how could I have had such a bad thought? And we're condemned and we're beat up before we can even fight spiritually. And you got to realize there's stuff coming at you from the outside. All right? What do we call that? That's temptation, isn't it? The Bible says Jesus was tempted in every point, even as we are, yet without sin. Praise God. But he experienced that from the enemy, right? He had to do some work. He had to say, "It is written." He had to do some things. He had to push back. And so we find that there's different origins, but we also find that there's some powerful origins. God's given us the Holy Spirit. We have an anointing that abides on the inside of us, who has been sent to lead and guide us into all truth. And we found out that the Spirit within us has the ability to bear witness with our spirit. Isn't that amazing? The Spirit of God lives on the inside of us to talk to our human spirit, that new creation in Christ Jesus. Jesus told Nicodemus, that which is born of flesh is flesh, that which is born of spirit is spirit. When you got born again, you became brand new on the inside. You became a new creation in Christ Jesus. You became the kind of spirit being that the Holy Spirit can reside on the inside of. Powerful. What? Know you not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost? Yes, we do know it. We know that He lives on the inside of us, and He abides with us forever. And He is, furthermore, leading and guiding us into all truth. That anointing abides within. And one of the things that anointing does, it bears witness, like we said, if this is my human spirit and I'm the Holy Spirit, it bears witness with my spirit. You are a child of God. It's what we call the assurance of salvation. Hard to articulate. It's the Spirit showing your spirit. There's a peace. It's something, but it's the Spirit of God showing you you're a child of God. And He doesn't just stop at bearing witness to the fact that you're a child of God. He's been sent to lead and guide you into all truth. So He's going to bear witness on the inside of you of all kinds of stuff. All right, that's a good input. You got the Spirit of God on the inside of you bearing witness. What did the Apostle Paul say? He said, I pray that you have a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. In the same way those negative spiritual forces can work against your mind and create temptation, the Spirit of God can communicate to your mind and create revelation of the truth of God's Word. And it's not just something you perceive on the inside. You get understanding. And you can see things that you didn't see before. There's powerful input by the Spirit of God. We also said the Word of God. Praise God. I thank God I've got the Holy Spirit living on the inside of me. I can discern and perceive and pick up stuff by revelation. But I'm also thankful that the same Holy Spirit who lives on the inside of me inspired this book. All scriptures given by inspiration of the same Holy Spirit who lives on the inside of me. Written down in paper and ink. So I can actually open these pages and read the heart of God. Read the mind of the Spirit of God. That's a powerful thing. And like we said before, I can just read in this Bible and get stuff right away. I don't have to spend a bunch of time in prayer and fasting to try to get stuff. I can get stuff right here, right now. You know, like we said, it almost feels like cheating, but it's not cheating. It's right here. Seems too good to be true. It's not too. It's there. It's the Word of God. That we can. This is another great input, isn't it? Another great input. We're talking about the origin of thoughts. Where do thoughts come from? Well, there's the flesh, the world, the devil. There's the Spirit of God inside your spirit. There's the Word of God. We also said, too, the body of Christ. Like we just read that verse a few minutes ago, just about how every joint supplying things. There's stuff that we can impart to each other by the Spirit of God through fellowship, encourage each other, build each other up in God, the things of God, and it's powerful. So as we're talking about thought origins, we got to realize that yes, not everything in my head is because I specifically brought it up or thought it up. You know, there are things that my mind is catching, and kind of we put it this way, you know, I'm not responsible for thoughts coming into my head, but I am responsible for the thoughts I allow to stay in my head. Kind of that analogy, you can't stop a bird from flying over your head, but you can keep it from building a nest in your hair, all right? That's kind of the way it is with thoughts. You know, you could be tuning through that radio frequency on your dial, and you pick up all kinds of stations you would never listen to, but they're in the air, and they're in the airwaves, you know, and you're going to pick up some things in the airwaves here and there. But whether you stay tuned to that channel or not is up to you, all right? But we want to realize that we do have different origins of thought, okay? And so as we're moving forward this morning, we're going to kind of take it to another level. I realize, okay, I got these thoughts in my head. They come from different places, but we're going to realize that we've got a responsibility once we perceive those thoughts. And I love this proverb, so powerful. It says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. That word keep means to guard in a good sense, to protect, to maintain. Diligence is the guard, the man, the post, you know, somebody literally standing guard. There's a diligence, a protection, and the heart here in the original Hebrew is lab, which means the feelings, the will, the intellect. that part of your mind where you are standing guard, you're standing watch, you're keeping your mind. You're standing guard over that mind with all diligence. For out of it flow the issues of life. Yes, it's just saying if you want to, in other words, we have the old expression, if you want to nip things in the bud, here's a great piece of wisdom right here. Keep your mind, your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring, flow the issues of life. You know, earlier this week, I heard a couple friends talking, and they were talking about a certain shopping center, very common franchised shopping center. And the one said to the other, hey, have you been to that one over in such and such a city? They said, yeah, it is horrible. I mean, it is dirty. It's, you know, the people are just, it's very hard to get help. You know, they're kind of rude and things are just sloppy and it's like, oh, it's like I dread when I have to go there to go there. Said, but on the other hand, this other store, exact same store, in a different city, is amazing. It's like you walk in, it's light, it's clean, the people are so friendly and helpful, and, you know, it's incredible. And as they were having their discussion there about that particular shop, I've thought the same thing in my mind as it relates to different, like, food restaurants, franchised food restaurants. You may have been to, just because you've been to, let's say, a McDonald's one place, you could go to a McDonald's another place and have two completely different experiences, you know? And when you look at the, you know, the difference between the two, you know, what is the difference between the two? Did one just happen to get lucky with a bunch of really good employees? And the other one got really unlucky with a bunch of, you know, kind of slothful, slackered employees? No. We know better than that. When we look at the difference between two stores that carry the same name, there is one word that comes out of our mouth and that can explain the difference. And that word is management. Management. Think, that has good management, that has poor management. It's the same, exact same brand, exact same store, but the reason that one store gets the good reputation for service is because within that store there is a work ethic where we treat the customer a certain way. We keep our workstations a certain way. When it's slow, we do certain things. There is in place good quality management, and there is consequences when those ethics, those rules are not obeyed, adhered to. Now, there's grace, there's ability to work with people and give people second chances and different things like that, but ultimately, you know, an employee is going to have a decision to make. Am I going to come under? Now, a good manager is going to have good, again, good rules, good management style, good different things as far as keeping a place clean, neat, inviting, different things like that. But that manager is going to be able to manage people, be able to manage situations so that that store reflects, you know, that good, wholesome thing that you want to project as a store, a good experience for the customer. And so, in other words, a well-managed store does not happen by accident. It takes an effort. It takes purpose. It takes some work. Now, for a bad, poorly managed store, there's a solution for that. You can get new management. And sometimes when you're driving along the road, you might even see the same store, but on the little billboard outside that'll say, under new management. They want everybody in that community to know, we are under new management. What is that saying? We know you may have had some really bad experiences here before. But please give us another chance. We're under new management. And that same store, you could walk in it 2 months later with different management, and it's light and bright, and hear the birds singing, and people talking to you and greeting you, and it's just like, whoa, a totally different experience. Same bricks and mortar, different management. Can make all the difference in the world. Management is the process of dealing with or controlling things or people. Keep your heart with all diligence. Keep your heart with all diligence. You have a place of business called your mind. All right? And like it or not, you are in management. You are in management over your mind. And if we're all honest today, we'll have to admit, there are times when our mind has been under good management, and there have been times when our mind has been under poor management. And our customers may have had varying results depending on when they may have come in contact with our particular place of business. Let me say this too. This is why it's also important not to judge people. Just because you've had a bad experience here or there, they may have come under new management over the years. Remember Jesus said to bless those who curse you, pray for your enemies? That's a good prayer. Pray for new management. When people are, because a lot of times, you know, it's true, hurting people hurt people. You're going through some things, pray for new management. New things, you know, but diligently protect your heart, for out of it flow the issues of life. So this morning, we're going on to thought management, all right? Thought origins, we kind of realize, all right, kind of got an inventory of thoughts here, and I'm not just going to be intimidated by all these thoughts. I am going to begin to manage these thoughts in my mind. I'm going to, what the Bible says, take every thought and bring it into captivity to the obedience of Christ. If you are really going to take your thoughts, bring them into captivity to the obedience of Christ, you are going to be in management of your thoughts. You know, managers are not always in a glorious position, is it, of being a manager? I don't know how many of you have been managers before, but sometimes you got the hard job. You might have to fire people. You might have to let people go. You might have to correct things. You might have to confront things. It's not fun. And yet it's necessary if you want that well-run establishment, isn't it? It really is. Same with your mind. If you're going to properly manage your mind, there's going to be some things that you're going to do. But praise God, you can have that well-run establishment in your mind. Powerful. You can bless a lot of customers that you come across the path of throughout your life. Thought management. God has given us what we need to properly manage our thoughts, or as we saw in 2 Corinthians 10, bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, what I'm going to do here this morning, and just kind of going through a few steps of thought management, I'm going to use an old kind of formula that I got from my driver's ed class when I took driver's ed in the early 80s. There was something, I called it IPDE, I-P-D-E, because I had to memorize it for a test, those four principles, and so that stuck with me. But it was simply, as you're driving, there's four things you got to do. You got to, as you're driving, you got to be able to identify, predict, decide, and execute. As you're behind that wheel and you're going along, you got to be able to identify the stuff that's going on around you, in front of you, be aware. And if you see something, to be able to predict what an outcome might be. And then you got to decide what you're going to do, and then you got to execute. You got to do it. Same with managing your mind. Same with managing your mind. As we look at managing our mind, the first aspect of thought management is you got to identify the origin, which is kind of what we went through last week. All right? You got to realize the fact that as you're running this business up here and you're managing this business and bringing those thoughts into captivity, that you are going to have various origins. There are going to be various different kinds of thoughts that enter through those doors. And again, you don't always have control what's going to come through those doors. But what you can do is you can identify where are they coming from. And again, just as kind of a quick review, we looked at the three different kinds of thoughts in terms on the negative side. We said the flesh, the world, and the devil. What does the flesh look like? What does it look like when the law of sin and death is warring against my mind? It looks like this. Now, the works of the flesh are evident. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, and revelries. So when that law of sin and death is warring spiritual forces against your mind, the law of your mind, it registers as these kinds of thoughts. So, what do we say? Can't take it personally. You got one of these bodies. Don't get condemned. Don't get beat up. Don't feel guilty. You are living in mortal flesh. It's mortal for a reason. The fall made it mortal. We don't have our glorified bodies yet. There is coming a day when these bodies won't fight us. But that's not today. You do have a battle today. The spirit lusts against the flesh, the flesh against the spirit. They are contrary one to the other. You can't do the things that you would. All right? So we realize that there is that spiritual force of the flesh. And if I begin to see this stuff coming in my mind, I got to realize I got a mortal body. It does have appetites. Thank God there's something I can do with those appetites. The Bible says I can put to death the deeds of the body by the Spirit of God. They don't have to stay in me. They don't have to dominate me forever. And we're going to get to that. But the first things first, you got to identify the origin of it. In other words, one of these things pop in your head, you don't repent. Okay? You realize, say, oh, okay, there's a thought. There's an origin. There's a thought popping into my head. You're not guilty, you're not defeated, you're not condemned. You're just living in one of these bodies and you got the law of sin and death and that's what it's speaking to your mind. All right? So you got to realize these are an origin of thoughts. In other words, I'm not taking personal responsibility just because it popped into my head. That's what it looks like when the law of sin and death wars against your mind. What does it look like when the spirit of the world comes? 1 John 2 says, don't love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. All right? With the world, like we said, it's the spirit of the world. You know, you could say the different medias, the glory of man, the pressure that the world puts on you. Remember, Romans says, don't conform to the pattern of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind according to the Word of God. Why is it that we're not to conform to the world? The world puts pressure on us to conform to be like the world. Like we said before, the world, the medias, the music, the movies, they are the amen corner for the flesh. Movies, music, it's all situational to make this look right in certain circumstances. And that spirit of the world is kind of lawyering this stuff into your mind to keep it there and to say that it's right. The glory of man, the pride of life, getting your focus on yourself. It's by your own bootstraps, your glory, my arm of my flesh. It erodes away at the humble appreciation and acknowledgement of God in your life. It's the spirit of the world that puts the focus and the glory on self. All right? And then finally, there's also the demonic realm. Who's wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But here's another. This is how the demonic powers and principalities war against your mind. If you have bitter envy, self-seeking in your hearts, don't boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. There is wisdom that's demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. So you're here and you got a bunch of confusion and bitterness and wrath and anger and strife. You know, a lot of times when you're in that, it's because you do think you have a revelation from God of how somebody hurts you. You do think you have a revelation. You've connected the dots, and there's a wisdom, there's a logic to it. It's just not godly wisdom, right? It's just not godly. And so you got to realize that's just another force. That's what it looks like in real life when you're wrestling against those powers and principalities. You'll notice it says we wrestle. That means there's struggling. No, but they said no, but God said forgive, and I'm going to forgive. And yes, no, forgetting those things that are bound, reaching forward to those things, that's wrestling, all right? But that's what it looks like in real life when that demonic realm wars against your mind, tries to do things, and you begin to identify. Oh, wait, no, ho. I'm identifying something here. You know, this is not God. This isn't God. I don't care if I'm right and just fuming, stomping, angry, mad. This is not God. It just isn't God. And so you begin to realize I'm identifying some things. These are, and let me say this too. You know, we talk about the flesh, the world, and the devil like they're three separate things. They are three separate things, but you got to all understand they're working for the same team, right? When I got born again, I got translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. There's only two kingdoms, the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of God's dear Son. Is this the flesh or is this the devil? Is it? Well, really, whether it's the flesh or the world, it's the kingdom of darkness, all right? So you're going to get that hung up on splitting hairs here because you know it's dark. You know what's wrong. Okay? So flesh, world, and devil, kingdom of darkness. We compartmentalize them just for some clarity so we can help identify the origin, but they're all darkness. And like we said too, praise God, the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit, when you begin to walk in the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such is no law. In other words, when the Spirit of God begins to work on you and work on your mind and that spiritual force, you're going to find, man, I've got peace where I didn't have peace before. You got joy. What joy. You know, David was talking about that joy, that impartation of joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Those are spiritual forces of joy. Praise God. You begin to look at what's right. You begin to look at the glory of God. All of a sudden, the joy of the Lord, it's your strength. Those things. These are great employees for your mind. These are the employees you want sticking around your mind in your business. These employees are going to make your place run amazing. It's going to make your place very inviting. You know, Jesus had tax collectors and sinners come to him because he had these employees working for him. He was a safe place. People that were labored and heavy laden, they weren't intimidated by him. They, ooh, good rest. Boy, he must have had all those employees, that sweet, kind, gentle goodness, faithfulness. That's what was working in him. More employees. Here's the other half of that wisdom scripture we talked about, the demonic wisdom. It goes on to say this: but the wisdom that is from above. Okay, we know what the bad wisdom looks like. What does the good wisdom look like? The wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. What does it look like when your wisdom is from above? This. It's pure, peaceable, gentle. You know, it really doesn't even delve much here into content as much as the voice. What that wisdom sounds like. It's pure, peaceable, gentle. You can listen for it. Remember Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. I believe we should have good doctrine, theology, we should divide the word correctly, but he didn't even say, my sheep know my theology. He said, my sheep know my voice. In other words, do you understand? Something could have theology that may agree with yours, but it doesn't have the right voice. And, you know, you got to be listening, too, for the sound of the wisdom. Because you can take the same word and beat somebody up. You can take the same sword and stab somebody with condemnation, leave them bleeding. Or take the same sword and speak the truth in love and have an edifying and building up effect. So we see that origin of wisdom. Okay, this is the kind of wisdom that's from above. It's pure. So you begin to judge your own thoughts as far. And then finally, here's some other great employees. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, pure, lovely, good report. If there's any virtue, anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. And so again, this is kind of a little bit more review, but just in identification. The first thing I'm going to do is I'm beginning to take thoughts into captivity to the obedience of Christ. I'm in thought management. The first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to identify those thoughts. Where do they come from? What do they look like? What do they sound like? Is this an appetite of my flesh? Is this a pressure of the world to conform? Is this just demonic wisdom of strife and, you know, turmoil and confusion of the enemy? Or is this peace? Is this long-suffering? Is this kindness, goodness, self-control? Is it true and honest and just? Okay, meditate on those things. So you begin to identify the origin of those thoughts. The next thing that we have to do is just what we're talking about, predict the outcome. All right? I've got the thought in my head. Now what am I going to do with it? All right? I've got to decide, in other words, where is this thing taking me? All right? Where is this thing leading me? Galatians chapter 6, 7 through 9 says, do not be deceived, God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. He who sows to his flesh, we looked at what the flesh was, will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit, we saw what the Spirit was, the fruit of the Spirit, will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. And this is where it gets a little bit tricky because, like we said, you can get those thoughts in your mind. And you can say, yeah, I know that's probably wrong, but. In other words, the enemy is the master of reasoning. He can take something, and that's what a good magician can do. He can take something that is just plain in front of your face and make it disappear. Or it can take that person and put all those, you know, those sleeves in that, you know, where they'll put a lady in one of those deals in those boxes and they'll split her and have her head over here and her feet over here and move it in the middle. And you're thinking, how, there should be blood everywhere, according to my calculations. And she's smiling and wiggling her toes in her hands. And you're going, wow, how does he do that? You can't trust what you see. And the enemy is just a master. In other words, the Bible says he's the father of lies. He's the best liar there ever was. That's what he's really good at. So when we're talking about predicting the outcome, this is where you are not only discerning the thought, but you are saying, this is where this thought leads. This is wrong. This is flesh. It's going to lead to corruption. James puts it this way. He says, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he's tempted, I'm tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one of you is tempted when he's drawn away of his own desires. That's the lust of the flesh, the law of sin and death. He's drawn away by his own desires and enticed. In other words, he's letting that stuff stay there. And when desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when it is full grown, brings forth death. Okay? So we can see the path. And this is where we've got to say, no, that's wrong. That is leading in a destructive manner. I am not going to allow that to stay with me. One of our Bible teachers said this a lot of times. He said, when the enemy comes at you with those thoughts, and those thoughts that you know are wrong, he'll reason with you. He'll try to reason with you. He said it this way. He said, you got to, when you're fighting this fight, you got to, don't let the enemy draw you in the arena of reason, but you take him and put him in the arena of faith. All right? This is an important thing. Remember when Jesus was hungry in the desert and, you know, he's fasting and Satan, you know, said, turn these stones into bread. And Jesus was hungry. The Bible said he was hungry. But it said, he said, no. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. He took it from a natural argument to a spiritual argument. He did that very powerfully. God will begin to cause you to say, no. It's going to be a spiritual, if I'm sown into the flesh, I will of the flesh reap corruption. Have you tried in your Christian experience to sow to the flesh in such a way to still try to not reap corruption? You can't do it. That's why the Bible says, don't be deceived. God isn't mocked. I mean, you can sow to these areas that may seem pleasurable, then all of a sudden you got all these fears and insecurities. Can't get away from it. You will. God isn't mocked. It's flesh. And flesh begets flesh. If you plant seeds in the ground of a kind, they spring up. So you realize, wait now, I'm predicting something here. I've been down this path before. And it's not going to turn out different this time. I predict that if I sow to the flesh, I will of the flesh reap corruption. I'm not going to do it. I see that accident about to happen. You know, like when you're driving, you could see slippery roads and you see a guy coming barreling down full speed and it's icy roads and you really shouldn't be going that fast. You might just want to slow down a little bit and pull off to the side and let that guy just come on through. You're predicting something. When you begin to see those thoughts, you begin, nope. I'm predicting some outcomes here. You know, the Bible says the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and they're safe. Keith Moore has a great song called The Tower, where safe am I in the tower up on high, so secure from all the world below. Safe am I. The enemy, he comes from far, enemy shouts from far below. He says, come down from your tower so high above. Come reason with me. Come feel and see. Then I shall make you no defeat. But he goes, no. Safe am I in the tower up on high. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. When I've got these logic problems of fear in my head, I'm going to say, no, God hasn't given me a spirit of fear, but he's given me a spirit of power. It is written. He's given me a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. It is written. Perfect love casts out all fear. It is written. I will fear not. You begin to realize that, I'm going to keep him in the arena of faith as I begin to see flesh begets flesh, but spirit begets spirit. when I begin to walk with God and I begin to choose, you notice these promises? It says, blessed is the man that endures temptation. For when he's been approved, he will receive the crown of life. In other words, when you're standing fast against the junk, say, no, I'm standing with the Spirit. There is a blessing. Let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we will reap if we don't lose heart. I love that. There is a reaping when you side with the Spirit of God. And then finally, I love this one. Those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. Those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. If I've got carnal mindedness in me, I've got to predict an outcome here. If I allow carnal mindedness to stay in me, according to the math of the Word of God, it's going to be death. It's going to be confusion, pain. But if I'll take that thought into captivity, bring it into the obedience of Christ, and I will replace it with the Word of God, the spiritual thoughts, it's going to be life and peace. You got life and peace. Doesn't mean that you've got the answers to all your problems. Doesn't mean the circumstances have changed. You're just spiritually minded, and you have life and peace. Just because you're spiritually minded. What does it mean? I trust in God. It means you're spiritually minded in the face of a very difficult situation. You stay spiritually minded. You stay in the arena of faith. That's what it means in real life to trust God. You keep your mind. We're in thought management today. Thought management 101. Spiritual mindedness. You begin to predict, no. I'm going to stay. I'm pulling back in God. When storms get bad, Lord, I'm really going to get close to you now. I don't have my fist in his face blaming him for the storm. I'm pulling in him. Say, God, I need you. I need you. God, I need you. My trust is in you. Decide. You've identified, you pricked. Now you're going to have to decide to resist or yield. This is really just one of two things that you're going to do. Decide to resist or yield. Again, if it's on the negative side, the Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world, but the God of all grace, who's called us by his eternal glory, by Jesus Christ, after you've suffered a while, not forever, a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. So when you get those thoughts, flesh, world, devil, you got to decide, am I going to yield to those, or am I going to resist those? We've got to resist those thoughts. The Bible says, therefore, James 4:7, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Okay? Those thoughts are going to come. Like we said, I'm here. I'm a human being. Like Jesus himself experienced that temptation. But I'm in a world where, in my case, my flesh has fallen. I got demonic spirits. I got forces working against. They register as thoughts in my mind. And I've got to decide. I don't have to yield to everything. I don't have to feel beat up because that thought was in my head. No, I can resist. Remember hearing a story about a guy who was, I don't know if it was San Francisco or one of these places, had the huge bridge. He was just kind of walking on the bridge, just amazed. And he was just kind of looking, by this bridge, and he was just, amazed at the size of it and, the vastness of it. And he said, just out of the blue, he had a thought just hit his mind so strong and sharp. He said, jump. And he said, just without thinking, just instinctively, he just said, no, you jump. That's called resisting. Now, what if he would have yielded? Jump. I wonder why I'm thinking jump. Wow, I must be suicidal. I didn't realize that. I had that thought. I've got to be suicidal. Therefore, I'm a... You understand? There's going to be thoughts coming at you from the outside. You got to decide what to do with them. Not all the thoughts in your heads originated from your human spirit and the Holy Ghost. And there are thoughts you got to resist. When the devil told Jesus, throw yourself down from this cliff. It is written, the angels shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone. Jesus said, it is also written. It is also written. Don't tempt the Lord your God. These aren't party games that we're doing to prove something. Thank God for his promises are there for you when you need them for real life stuff. They're not there to show off or flex spiritual muscles or make a show of. Jesus knew that. His spirit was right, pure. Sometimes you got to know it's also written. There can be that religious spirit where the enemy tries to spiritualize flesh and tries to justify different things. That's where you got to be able to say, it is also written. Think what they did. You don't want to be a doormat. It is also written, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ has forgiven you. You got to know it is also written. And what did Jesus, he resisted with the word of God. That's a powerful way that we resist. You got to decide when those thoughts come, am I going to yield to them or am I going to resist them? Before you decide to yield or resist, you got to determine that origin. You got to see where it's taking you. And then you got to decide, am I going to yield or am I going to resist this? Now, those are some resist scriptures. How about some yielding scriptures? These are some powerful yielding scriptures here in Colossians 3:15. It says, and let, that would be yielding, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. In other words, you're letting the peace of God rule. When you got a peace, it's like, wow, it's amazing. I got peace. You know, sometimes you can get the peace of God and you can feel like, I'm crazy. I shouldn't have this peace. No. You can resist the good stuff. You can actually resist the supernatural peace and the grace and the word of God. You can have a resisting effect. No, that's what you want to yield to. Thank you, Lord. Can I have a peace that passes my understanding? Yeah, you can. Even though I don't understand, and the force of peace can be working, yeah, it can. And I can yield to it. Say, praise God. Thank you, Lord. Your peace you have left with me, not as the world gives, but you have given me your peace, greater peace. And realize that, yeah, there's a peace. I love this same passage in the Amplified. Let the peace, the soul harmony which comes from Christ's rule, act as umpire continually in your hearts, that peace, deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in your minds in that peaceful state to which, as members of Christ's one body, you were also called to live. And be thankful, appreciative, giving praise to God. I love that. When you're letting the peace of God rule, letting it act as umpire. Do I have a peace about that or do I not have a peace about that? This is not an intellectual thing. This is a perceiving. Perceiving on the inside. Letting that peace rule. Letting that peace act as umpire. Not leaning to my own understanding. Acknowledging him and letting that peace rule in my heart. Also, let the word spoken by Christ the Messiah have its home in your hearts and minds and dwell in you in all its richness as you teach and admonish and train one another in all insights, intelligence, and wisdom. In spiritual things, as you sing psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, making melody in your hearts to God, his grace with his grace in your hearts. And that's what we were even doing this morning, worshiping God. You're allowing the Spirit of God to have that work. That's the yielding to the Spirit of God. And here we alluded to before, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer, supplication with thanksgiving. I'm letting. There's a yielding here. Letting my request be made known to God. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now look at that. The Bible said, we read that proverb, diligently protect your heart. Protect your heart, for out of it flow the issues of life. How do we do that in real life as New Testament Christians? We see that there is a peace of God that passes our understanding, that guards or protects our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. How do we let that peace rule in our minds? By being anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let our requests be made known unto God. In other words, it's not a sin, it's not wrong to have anxious thoughts. Again, we just don't keep them there. We turn them into prayer requests. And we take that anxiety and we say, okay, Lord, here's this situation. I don't know what to do. It's not working in my mind. The math doesn't work. I don't know what to say. Lord, but I'm trusting you. In all my ways, I'm acknowledging you. So here it is, Lord. Show me what to say. Show me what to do. I ask you. I place this in your hands with thanksgiving. And I trust you. I'm going to stay spiritually minded regarding this as I put it in your hands. And when you do that, when you turn an anxious thought into a prayer request, then you don't even have to pray for this. It just happens. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. I love that. You can have a peace that passes your understanding. In other words, I don't have the answer up here. The answer's in here. I just don't have it up here yet. But in the meantime, until the answer comes from here to here, there is a peace to keep this intact until the answer comes through revelation or whatever. Thank God for that. I don't have to know everything all the time at the spot of the moment, even if people put pressure on me. I mean, the question I got to ask, have I let my request be made known unto God? That's the big question for me. Have I talked to God about it? Have I acknowledged him? Like we said, you can talk to 20 people about it. But until you've talked to God about it, you still haven't prayed. You could think about it, agonize it, lose 4 months of sleep over it. But until you talk to God about it, you still haven't prayed. It's when you just really on purpose. And if it helps you, get out a piece of paper and write these into specific prayer requests and date them. It'll be good reading for you in the future as you watch God begin to answer these prayers one by one. But these are things, we're talking about thought management right now, okay? And this is where you're going to have to decide, okay, I'm either going to yield or I'm going to resist. I'm going to take these thoughts, I'm going to bring them into obedience to Christ. What does that mean in this case? It means I'm going to take those anxious thoughts and I'm going to convert them into prayer requests and ask God. Ask, seek, knock. We should be good askers. Asking isn't selfish. Asking is humility. People don't get saved unless they humble themselves and ask the Lord to come into their heart. There's a humility that's connected with asking. And so we got to realize we need God. We need him. Lord, apart from you, I can do nothing. I need you. I do ask, seek, knock. Let those things be made known unto God. You know, when you think about some of these things too, and we're looking at just letting the word of Christ dwell in your hearts, you get in some of these jams. And it is an amazing thing how God will have you do stuff that is just kind of, whoa. Because I remember getting one of these jams. I've told you before my treadmill story. I'm on the treadmill, I'm in strife, I'm frustrated, and I get that little word, just praise me. I'm thinking, just praise me. I got to work through this. And that's when I got that life-changing word. You don't have to bring closure to Satan's confusion before you can praise him. Amen. I will bless the Lord at all times. And I was just saying, I got to get through with this. No. I was engaged in some demonic wisdom, and I just needed to praise him at that point. I needed to resist that. One of the great ways that you can resist the bad is by yielding to praise and worship. It's an amazing thing. When he just begins to inhabit your praises, man, you don't even have to rebuke anything anymore. It's just gone. The presence of God just fills your room. And it's like, whoa, praise God, hallelujah. Where the Spirit of the Lord, there's liberty. You just begin to draw near to him. You begin to look unto him. Just amazing things just begin to happen. And so we're talking, you know, right now, but deciding. You got to decide. You know, am I going to look up? Am I going to yield? Or am I going to resist this thing? And, you know, some great Old Testament stories along these lines, too. When you got these guys going into battles, they're way outnumbered. What do they do? They put 300 praisers ahead of them. I mean, that is intellectually embarrassing. It's ridiculous. And it's the right thing to do. March around the walls of Jericho. And on the seventh day, you give a shout, and the walls just fall down. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. And in your circumstances, you may find yourself prompted to do things that in the natural, that's not going to fix it. They're just prompting to just trust in him. Could seem inconsequential, but okay, Lord, okay. Nevertheless, at your word, we'll go out. We'll throw down the nets again. Nevertheless, at your word. I've already been out there. I know those lakes pretty well, but nevertheless, it's your word. You get those promptings. Just praise. I mean, just those things, they'll break. And when that happens, you realize, wow, this was just God. He did it. He won the victory. I've got the victory through my Lord Jesus Christ. When God leads you, he'll lead you in areas of faith. He might have you put the praisers out in front. Just begin to worship God. Well, how's that going to get the bills paid? Just worship God. Just do it. Just begin to praise him, worship him. I mean, Paul, Silas, midnight hour, fasting the inner stocks. They just began to worship God. Chains fell off, got the jailer saved, didn't even leave the jail. Just stayed in the jail, demanded an apology from the city before they left. I mean, tell you what, it might have looked, those guys were in control, weren't they? And what they did was they were just worshiping God. That's what they felt led in their heart to do. And so as you're talking about things, yielding, resisting, those are going to be the things that you realize, okay, praise God. Lord, I'm going to resist the bad thing. I'm going to yield to what you show me to do. And then finally, execute. That's the bottom line. Execute. You have got to, at some point, I don't know, however you want to say it, you got to pull the trigger. You got to do it. All right? James puts it this way. James 1, 22, it says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. He observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty, continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." All right? There's come a time. You're in thought management. You're managing your thoughts. You've identified where that thing is from. Maybe it isn't from something good. And you've predicted that if I stay the course, it's going to lead me astray. It's going to lead me off to where I'm going to be. I'm going to be reaping something bad. I've decided that I am going to resist that thing. I am absolutely not going to tolerate it. All right? That's good. That's good management. But your job isn't done yet. You have to execute. You got to be a doer of the word. Jesus tells a little story. He says this, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I'll liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, beat on that house, and it didn't fall, for it was founded on the rock. But to everyone who hears these sayings of mine, does not do them, will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." Wow. Two people, same theology. One was a doer, one wasn't a doer. The doer is ultimately executing. When it comes to thought management, is going to be the bottom line. You understand? I could be flipping through the channels and see something on a channel and go, "Wow, that's really bad. That's horrible. I've identified that is definitely a work of the flesh." And I predict, if I continue to watch this channel, it is not going to go well with me. It is going to get my mind in the wrong place. And I've decided that I need to resist this. That's horrible. Look at that. Can you imagine that? It's unbelievable, this day and age. Oh, wow. At some point, I have to stop monologuing and turn the channel. Right? My house is still going to fall if I don't turn that channel. I could preach a sermon on it, but my house is still going to fall if I don't turn that channel. You got to execute. You're going to have to cast down that imagination. You have to pull down strongholds. Say no in Jesus' name. You have to pull the trigger on that thing. Say, "I'm not going there." No, in Jesus' name, I resist it. I refuse it. Same is true on the other side. You get a prompting of the Spirit of God. Wow, praise God. You know, that's good. Have you ever had a really good thought that, wow, praise God, and you feel, "I need to write that down. That's good. That's going to help me." You think, "Oh, it's all right. I'll remember that." Next day you're going, "Man, what was that thing the Lord showed me? It was really good." He'll give you stuff to help you, to equip you. Yeah, man, write it down. Thank God for it. Pray over it. Cherish those words he puts in your heart. He'll give you more. When you're faithful over that little, he'll give you more. He'll give you more. You learn to cherish that stuff, and you begin to execute and meditate and set your mind on those things. Not just on the great things of the Word of God, but man, Lord, thank you for that word you gave me. That's the help I need. That's the grace that I needed to help in this particular time of need. Thank you. And so you begin to rejoice and cherish those things. And so, thought management. Basically, if you are going to be about the process, you could say, of taking every thought and bringing it into captivity to the obedience of Christ. What does that mean in real life? It means you got a management project on your hands. All right? And, you know, whether you're under good management or bad management depends on you, because you are the manager of your mind. And you are going to decide, number one, identifying the source. Just because you got a bad thought that pops into your head, don't just drop to your knees and cry and be defeated before you even start. You're down here. It's part of the deal. Jesus had that too. You got to realize, hey, I got some pretty nasty external outputs here that are coming against me, but God has me in this world to stay in this world because I have influence in this world to win people to Jesus and to preach the gospel and get the message out. So I've got some adversity while I'm down here. But in the meantime, I'm going to realize, I'm just going to identify that thought. Oh man, that's a really horrid thought. Yeah, it's just flesh. Garden variety flesh. Yeah. It's just like anybody else's flesh. You know what the enemy wants? To just, oh, wow, shame on you. Because that's what he'll do. He'll do the 1-2 punch. He'll plant a thought in your mind by the spirit of the by the law of the flesh, and then he'll come along with his demonic power and principality and say, shame on you for thinking that thought. Bang, bang. And you go, yes, I know, I'm horrible, I'm awful, I'm rotten, I'm a sinner. No, I'm a Christian with full armor in a battle. And I'm identifying thoughts and saying, no, I recognize that. I'm wrestling, I'm resisting. There's a war going on. That thought pops in my head, oh yeah, flesh. You marginalize it, don't you? And that's what the scripture does, 1 Corinthians 10, 3. It says, for no temptation has overtaken you except that which is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond that which you're able to, but with the temptation he'll provide the way of escape. The scripture makes common the enemy's devices. And so you got to realize, yeah, okay, common, yep, that's flesh. Oh, that's world. That's a world input trying to make me conform. Yep, flesh, world. Oh, devil, strife, yep, that's what it is. If you get good at it, and you get good at thought management, you begin to realize that, hey, I can take these thoughts into captivity. I can compartmentalize and say, yep, wrong. Managing your thoughts instead of caving to every one. You can manage them. When the enemy comes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, he can't devour me. His roars don't devour me. Identify those roars, yep. James 3. Not from above. Confusion, every evil work. All right. Nope. I resist that. It is written in Jesus' name. I resist that. But I'm identifying. I got to identify the thoughts. Then I predict the outcome. I realize, nope, that's not bad. If I get on that path, that's where it leads to. I got to decide to yield or resist. But then I got to execute, right? There comes a point in time you got to turn that channel. You got to speak it out. You got to let your request be made known unto God. You got to execute. You know, not worrying another day, but letting your request be made known to God. Like I said, if you got to take out a piece of paper, date it, write it, stake in the ground. Enemy comes against you, they show them that paper. Nope, that request has been made known unto God. And I'm letting the peace of God rule in your hearts. You got to there's a peace that will pass your understanding, but you got to let it. Once you've made your request made known unto God, you got to let it. Let it. Let it keep your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. It won't overpower you. God isn't like a demonic spirit trying to overpower you. You've got to yield to him. He works with you as you yield to him. He doesn't lord over you. He's your Lord, and he leads you and guides you, and you respond to his leading and guiding. That's the way he is. That's why his wisdom is pure, peaceable, gentle. That's why Jesus said, I'm meek and lowly in heart. Does that sound like the Alpha, the Omega, beginning and the end. He's meek and lowly in heart. That's the way he is, and that's the way he'll lead you. And so thought management, we begin to realize that, yes, I've got a mind. Yes, I've got a business establishment up here. And praise God, God has given me what I need to manage this business establishment. This business establishment, this mind is coming under good management. It's going to be a place when people walk in, it's going to be a breath of fresh air. It's going to be a place of rest and relief, refreshing and strength. Be a place where God can do good things through my life. But thank God, I have a mind, I have thoughts, and I have weapons of my warfare that make it possible for me to bring these thoughts into captivity and manage every thought and bring it into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Well, Heavenly Father, we just come before you in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, this day that you have given us what we need, all things that pertain both to life and godliness. You've given us every single thing. This word of God that you've given us, this written word, is so thorough that it fully equips us for every good work. There are promises in this book. There is power in this word that Jesus Christ himself spoke in resisting the devil on this earth 2,000 years ago. Lord, we thank you that we have what we need to walk in victory in our thoughts. So we come before you today. We just humble ourselves, and we make a fresh consecration to you today. Lord, we are the managers of our thought life to make that fresh decision to dedicate ourselves to do just that. If your heart can agree with this, go ahead and make this your declaration of faith. Say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for my mind. My mind is my mind. I will not allow outside influences to control me. I will not be their puppet. I've been bought with a price. I will glorify God in my body and my spirit. because they're yours, Lord. I purpose in my heart, I will identify thoughts. I will not cave to flesh thoughts, worldly thoughts, demonic thoughts. I will wrestle. I will resist, because he that's in me is greater than he that's in the world. The force of the Spirit of God, through whom you can do exceedingly above all I could ask or think, can effectively resist anything coming against my mind. I thank you, Father. I am yours. I will execute. I will do what I know to do. My life will be built on the rock of your word. My trust is in you. Praise God. Lord Jesus, today is my day, the day I call upon your name. Come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. Many things I don't understand. One thing I choose to believe. You love me. I receive that love now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise.